The title of our sermon this morning is Don't Say Thanks, Be Thankful. Don't say thanks, be thankful. The text we're going to use is 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 to 13. The Bible says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the holy assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything's come from you, and you have given, we have given you only what comes from your hands. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. Now I have seen the joy, how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, keep these desires in the thoughts and in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you, and give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything you build, to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down, prostrating themselves before the Lord and the king. Let's bow our head to pray. Father, this morning, we thank you. We are thankful, oh God, for who you are, for what you do, and for what you've been in our lives. And Father, this morning we are here, just Father God, Lord, to show you how grateful we are. How grateful we are that you are in our lives. How grateful we are that you've given us a second chance. How grateful we are, Father God, that you give us the greatest gift of all, your son, who died on the cross, that we may have life and life more abundantly. And this morning, we are turning our heart to you to give you praise and honor that you alone deserve. Speak to our heart, Holy Spirit. Give us a word, Father God, that will bring new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The great poet, Joseph Kipling, not only became a very famous writer before he died, but he also made a great deal of money at it. And one day a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, "Hey Kipling, somebody calculated the money you make from your writing, and it amounts to $100 a word. With inflation today, that would be $1,300 per word in our modern day." Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and shoulders to express that he certainly wasn't aware of that. And the reporter cynically reached into his pocket and pulled a $100 bill. And he pointed to Kipling and said, "Here's $100 bill, Mr. Kipling, in exchange for one of your words." Kipling looked at the $100 bill for a moment, took it out of the reporter's hand. He folded it up. He put it in his pocket. Then he turned around and looked at the reporter and said, "Thanks." Truly, this is $100 word. Thanks. As we are doing the groceries and preparing the decoration and making the invitation or accepting the invitation this Thursday to come with our family to say thanks, I want to share with you this morning the life of a man who refused to say thanks. He did not need a holiday to say thanks to God. He did not need things to be going well for him to say thanks to God, because he was thankful. He was thankful to God in every situation that he was in. And his name is David. In fact, I'm looking at the word thanksgiving, and I'm thinking about it this week. I'm like, thanksgiving, give thanks. You know, this is the thing that you have to do. It has to be a part of you. You can't say thanks because somebody's giving you something. But in order for you to be thankful, it has to be something that is embedded in you. Because you have to give thanks. No one can give you thanks to give. Everybody, people can give you everything, but they cannot give you that word to give. It has to come from you. But in order for it not to just come during the holiday or when something great happened in your life, can't just say thanks. You have to learn to be thankful. What does it take to be a person who is grateful? Someone who is always thankful in life. And through David's words in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 to 20, I've seen three things in his life. Three things he talks about in that text. And it's, and I'm looking at it, I said, if you can have these in your life, long after the Thursday is gone, long after the November pass, you will be a thankful person. So in the words of David, let us learn something this morning. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 to 13, this is what David says. The Bible says that David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. That's at the end of his life. He's about to give the throne to Solomon. He's about to give Solomon the reign as king. But before he did this, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." He says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." Now listen to verse 13. "Now, our God. Now, our God, we give you thanks." Now, our God, we give you thanks. In order for you to remain a person of thankfulness, never lose the sight of who God is. Never lose the sight of who God is. Listen to the text again. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power." Listen, he's talking about God. He's reminding himself who God is. He's talking up to God about who God is. "Yours, everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours." And when you put it in that context, when you could see that in God in that way, no matter where you are, what's happening in your life, you can be grateful. Because after he says all these things in verse 13, he's the word now. After all this I've just said, when I am able to see you that way, God, then I can give you thanks. You see, if you look at David's life, he was always able to give God thanks. It's not because he lived a great life. It's not just because he's in the end of his reign and he's passing the throne to his son. But if you look at the life of David, it was always full with praise. He always God had God in the forefront. Never lose sight of who God is. You see, the reason why we love, you know, when we're watching football or basketball, you know, these guys, you see the name of the team, you know, the Chicago Bulls. See, you're reminding people of who you are. The Detroit Lions, the Patriots, the New England Patriots. No one says, you know, the New Hampshire sheep. Or if you're looking at America, what do we say? We say we what? We what? The Eagles. Russian or the Bears. But David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." You know what he's saying? I'm a sheep. If the Lord is your shepherd, you're a sheep. Sheep are one of the dumbest animals that you could have. And that's the reason why the shepherd, they always gotta have a shepherd. You could put most animals in the jungle and they'll do fine, not sheep. They need a shepherd to guide them. Because they'll wander. And they'll even walk and just dive down into the deep end. If there is not a shepherd. So they constantly need someone to guide them. What David is saying, mind you, David then said this at the beginning of his life when he himself was a shepherd. No, it was after he was considered to be the greatest musician in his country. He was playing for the king. And when the king had a bad spirit, when David played, spirit is gone. Not only that, the number one song of the country was written after him, not the king. Saul as king is thousands, but David kills 10,000s. David had the most beautiful girl in the country, the king's wife. The reason I know he had the most beautiful girl is because the Bible says Saul was a good-looking man. And you know, good-looking men with money and power get good-looking girls. And they make good-looking kids. And the king's daughter became David's wife. He was a general in the army. He became king. But when he looks at everything he accomplishes, he says, without God, I'm lost. Without God, I am nothing. In fact, his son learned that lesson very well. I think that's the reason why he wrote in Ecclesiastes, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless apart from God. You see, when David was in the cage running away from Saul, when he was fighting Goliath, all he could think about is that God that he just spoke about. Praise be to you, the Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the majesty, and the splendor. Now, we give you thanks. You have to see God for who he is, no matter what situation you find yourself in. If you let that escape you, if you let that run out of your sight, you find yourself complaining. You find yourself crawling under the bed. But when you know and you know that you know who your God is, no matter what may come your way, you hold your head high because you know all things. Isn't that what the Bible says? When you are in God's will, all things do what? Work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Don't lose the sight. Don't lose the sight of who God is. Because the moment you do so, you start complaining and not being thankful. Job understood that. We've preached sermon here about Job. We've preached series here about Job. What does Job say? Shall we only accept good from God and not trouble? So what he's saying, in trouble and in good times, he will be thankful. He will be thankful because he knows who God is. Though he slay me, I know who he is. Yet will I trust him. Yet I will be thankful. I know some people are asking, what is it I have to be thankful for? You know, this past 3 months, all I've been dealing with is cancer. It's either a family member with cancer, a church member who has a family with cancer. In fact, yesterday I was coming from Philadelphia and I was running late, and myself and my wife, we went to see the mother of a friend of ours has stage 4 cancer. Aggressive. And for the past 3 weeks, I've been going down to Connecticut to see my aunt, who's in the stage 4 cancer. She's like a mother to me. And those things sometimes can get you depressed. Thinking about what are we celebrating? But I want you to know that you have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. And the only way you could be thankful in this time, right now, is to take your eyes off your problem and put them on God. Put them on God. And that's exactly what David has always done when he stood before Goliath. Yes, he was tall. Yes, he was a great warrior. Yes, he had experience. Yes, he knew how to fight. Yes, he knew he had no chance. unless his eyes was fixed on the greatness of God. Who is this uncircumcised who stood before, not Israel, not me, but the army of the great God? The one who has who is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the majesty, and the splendor. And with that in mind, all fear is gone. He marched on and defeated Goliath. If you're going to defeat Goliath in your life, if you're going, you have to know who God is and always keep this perspective before you. Because the disciples were afraid when they find themselves in the water. They were fishermen. And for fishermen to be afraid of water, something must be going on. Because they had a problem. The water was agitating to a point where they think they're going to perish. And that problem they thought was bigger than them, here's Jesus walking on that problem. What I'm trying to tell you, no matter how big your problem is, they're not bigger than God. You can lift up your eyes as long as he's in your corner and be thankful. Be thankful. Not only David never lose the sight of who God was, he always remembered that God is the source of everything he has. God is the source of everything you have. Now I could understand why Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I will depart. The Lord gives, the Lord take away. Everything you are, everything you have, and everything you will be belong to God. Everything belongs to God. So shall we only give thanks to God when things are going well? But when things are going bad, you know, I say this all the time in this church, whether I'm preaching here or talking to somebody, I say, I never heard somebody say, why me when things are going great in their life? Why am I the one God chose to be born in the United States of America? Why not in Syria where they're having wars right now? Why not in places where people have to walk for miles and miles and miles to get water to drink? I mean, you can open your faucet with five steps. Why not? Why you? But when things are going bad, when things are not going the way we want it to go, it's why. Everything you have belongs to God. He says in verse 14, who am I? Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And you have given, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. His perspective is everything I have, this very kingdom, the money, the wife, the country, everything that is in my possession belongs to God. So whatever it is, he was planning to build a temple for God. And he's being very generous because he said, shall I give something to God that does not cost me anything? That's what he said. He wanted to give God something that cost them. But in the midst of doing that, he has a revelation. Well, what am I doing here? Thinking I can, you know, I can impress God. Everything I have belongs to him. everything I have. He gives it. Now, again, we go back to Job. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. And I know you parents here, and as well as young people, something you should understand. You know, sometimes when it's your birthday or your wife's birthday or your husband's birthday, I don't know for you, but I have the habit, and this is a habit my wife has as well, we go and give the kids money to go buy gifts. You know, when they buy something, you feel that they put that thought behind it, and you know, you feel good. It makes you happy that they give you that gift. But that money is yours. That money is yours, yet you are impressed. Yet it brings joy to your heart. But your kids don't really get it though. That everything they have is yours. And that's the reason sometimes when we feel that our kids is not doing the right, or not doing the right thing, we said, give me the phone. Give me the phone. Give me this. I'm going to take it from you for a little while. Yeah, and God does take some things from us a little while. It's not to hurt us, but to help us refocus. Because sometimes we lose our way. And the shepherd has to come with its rod and hit us on the side with the nail in it and say, get back on track. And sometimes we do as well keep things away from our kids, don't we? Everybody would love to have an iPhone. What's the new one again now? They're going so fast. 11. I'm still at 9, somewhere there. But your kids ask you for certain things, you say, what? Wait till you turn 13. Wait till you turn 16. Wait till you turn 21. Yes, they want to have it. Yes, you wanted to have it when you had your parent. But because they know what's good for you, sometimes they say, wait. Come on, when they said, wait, what did you do? These were the worst people in the world. My mom forbid me to have a certain haircut. And I said, I wanted to do it. She says, well, then you want to have my haircut. Because I'm going to buy a clipper. You do it while you're sleeping, I'll give you my haircut. And I was like, this lady. I was upset. Why? Because a girl told me that if I have that haircut, she'll go out with me. And she was taking something away from me. But you know what's so funny? My mom is dead, is dead for a while now. But yet sometimes I sit down and smile a little and say, thanks, Mom. Because most of the things she kept from me that I was bickering about, that I think she was the worst person, I look back because of wisdom and say, thanks, Mom. A lot of the things that God keeps from you or take away from you, it's because He loves you. Because He loves you. I hear millionaires and billionaires says, no, I'm not going to leave all my money for my kids. Because if I do, they will never accomplish anything for themselves. They're like, what do you mean you're not leaving all your money for your kids? They want much more than money for their children. And God wants much more for you, much more from me. He gives us, He takes away, He keeps it for a little while because he loves you. And that David understood. David understood. He understood this. So therefore he says, who am I? Who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously to God? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight. What David is saying, the earth is yours. Where we live, you're the landlord. That's why sometimes when I hear some rhetoric on television about foreigners, I say, be careful. Be careful. Because that's what David says. We are foreigners. Every single one of us. The earth belongs to God. Belongs to God. And just as he allows one people to move to a certain area in the world and take it away from the others, he can still do that. Just as his blessing is showered upon you today, he can turn and shower it upon someone else today, tomorrow. Never lose sight of who God is. And always, always, always remember that God is the source of everything you have. And David says, all this abundance that we have provided for building your temple, for your holy names, come from your hand. And all of it belong to you. Don't we like it when a kid is not, don't we hate it when a kid is not thankful? When you have to force a kid to say thank you. I'm like, you're so ungrateful. You know, when Priscilla was younger, she used to amaze me all the time. And sometimes she'd make me feel bad, like we'll pass a fast food restaurant and I'll buy her something. And she'd go, thank you, Dad. Thank you for buying me this. And sometimes I'm like, I'm your dad. In my head, I'm like, I should buy it for you. You don't have to say thank you for everything. She said thank you for everything. But when you have a kid, you hand them something. What do? I remember my mother used to do that. She'll give you something and you put your hand, you bring your hand out and you hold it. She holds it too. And she's looking at you and you're like clueless. And you're like, and then all of a sudden it comes to your mind, oh, thank you. She let it go. Because she was teaching you something. Now don't just say thanks. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. So not only you should know, if you want to be a thankful person, you should never lose sight of who God is. You should always remember that God is the source of everything. But your heart must always be loyal to God. Your heart. Keep your heart loyal to God. No matter what's going on, don't serve God's pocket, serve God. Don't love God's wallet. Love God. Be loyal. In good times. You see it so many when people are getting married. Everything seems good. Their heart is beating. And then here I am there or any other pastor. For better or for worse. And they no reject nothing. But better or for worse. Oh, he doesn't want to go to work, Pastor James. Well, you said for better or for worse. Oh, he doesn't make that much money. Well, he doesn't do this. She doesn't do that. Oh, well, I think I'm leaving. I'm divorcing her. I'm divorcing him. You said, for better or for worse. What part of that you didn't understand? Yes. That is a heart of loyalty. For better or for worse. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In good times, I will serve him. In bad times, my heart will remain loyal to God. Did you know that David is perhaps the only king in Israel who kept a loyal heart to God? Yes, David did sin. David committed sin with Bathsheba. He caused Uriah's death. But for God to say he's a man after God's own heart. I couldn't put the two together. Well, a guy who did this thing is a man after your own heart. David never worshipped another god. Even his son Solomon did. His great-grandson did. The one who came before him did. The ones in the north did. But David gave his heart loyal to God. David says, I know my God that you test the heart. You test the heart and you are pleased with integrity. I'm not going to do anything for God that does not cost me anything. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. David is not only saying that because I keep my heart loyal to you and because I keep sight of who you are and always know that what I have is yours. The people are following my footsteps. That's a little bit contagious when you're thankful. Your kids become thankful. People around you are thankful. Leave that legacy behind. Don't say thanks only when things are going right. But be thankful. And now I have seen with joy and willingly how people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever. And keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your command. There is a saying, dance with the girl you came to the party with. Yeah, there might be more attractive girls there. Or she may do something that doesn't please you. But the saying said, dance with the girl you went to the party with. Stay loyal. Keep your heart loyal to God. In good times. And in bad times. See, when God measures somebody, he doesn't measure them around the waist. Measure them around the heart. Never in the word of God that God wanted to do something great with somebody. He was looking at the statue, who they are, were they famous, are they able. It was always about the heart. Always about the heart. Always about their heart. God is looking at your heart. He's looking at my heart when he gives and when he takes away. As I end, I want to share Jesus' moment when he was in the desert with the 5,000. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15 to 21. The Bible says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it is already getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, do not send them away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Jesus says, bring them to me. He said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looks up to heaven. And the Bible says, he gave thanks. He took the 5 loaves of bread, and he took the fish. And he gave thanks. You don't have to have much. Whatever you have in your hand, lift it up before God and give thanks. And what happened? The Bible says God multiplied. And we call it today the miracle of the fish and bread. When you're not saying thanks, but you are thankful, God has a way to take what you have and supersize it. And that's exactly what God did for Jesus. He took the 5 loaves and the fish. It was not enough. Never enough. Have you lived that life? It seems like it's never enough. Never enough. You never have enough food, never have enough money for vacation, never have enough money to pay the bills. Lift your head to God. Before you go look for a second job, a third one, before you go ask anyone else, lift your head to God. And say, God, thank you for my little house. God, my children are not the smartest in the world. I thank you for them. They're not the best behaved kids in the world. I thank you for them. My parents cannot give me what my friends have. But I thank you for them. My relationship is not as peachy as everyone else. But I thank you for my husband. I thank you for giving me my wife. And if you can be thankful, God can do miracle with what you have. What you have in your hand is plenty when you raise it toward heaven. And be thankful. This morning, as I was preparing to come here, I was listening to Tony Evans. And in his message, he gave an illustration. And he said he loves cakes. He said, I love cake. Whenever I see cake inside of me, I'm going crazy. But he said, had you take the flour and tell me to eat it, I would not. If you give me the raw eggs and tell me to drink it, I would not. If you gave me the bowl of sugar, tell me to eat it, I would not. But when you put it all together, put it in the oven, it's the delight of my heart. And he said, sometimes God gives us raw eggs. Give us a bowl of sugar. And he gives us flowers and milk. It says, not for you to dwell on one of them or two of them, but if for you to allow him to mix everything that happens in your life and put it in the oven so that anyone can look at you and desire you because of what God has made of you. Be thankful for the eggs that God brings into your life, the raw eggs. Be thankful for the flowers. Be thankful for both the good, the ones that are sweet and bitter. But let God work them out. And if you do, you too, like Apostle Paul, will know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and for the good of those who call upon his name. Happy Thanksgiving. Be thankful.